Welcome to Formula One Plus One, where we break down the fastest sport on the planet into bite-sized episodes. Whether you're a seasoned fan fueled by passion or you've never watched a race in your life and just want to know what all the fuss is about, we welcome you. Get comfortable in your race seat because it's lights out and away we go. Welcome to episode 12. I'll run through the events for a regular race weekend, but first I'd like to say hello to my listeners in Taiwan. Ni hao and huai lai la. I've had many new listeners from Taiwan and I wanted to thank you all for tuning in. Now to the subject at hand. I'll start off with a quick snapshot of a race weekend. Day 1, media day. Day 2, free practice 1 and 2. Day 3, free practice 3 and qualifying. Day 4, race day. This format changes for sprint weekends, and you can tune into episode 13 in a couple days to learn more about that. Race days are usually Sundays, but every now and then we have Saturday races. This season, 3 of the 24 races are on Saturdays. 2024 started off with 2 Saturday races back-to-back. This isn't typical, but because Ramadan started on the Sunday of the Saudi Arabian race weekend, the race got moved a day early to Saturday. And because Saudi was part of the season-opening doubleheader, the first race in Bahrain was also moved up to Saturday to allow for 7 days between races. Towards the end of the season, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is also on a Saturday, the same as it was last year when the track first premiered on the schedule, and it'll be the only Saturday race of next year's race season. With all that being said, we're going to assume a Sunday race for the remainder of this podcast for simplicity's sake. So things start up 3 days before the race on Thursday, which is dubbed Media Day. This is the day before any Formula One cars hit the track. Teams are involved in mandatory events to boost engagement of the sport, and many of them happen on this day, the first of which is the pre-race press conference. An FIA media delegate selects 6 of the 20 drivers to participate. This used to be a 3.5-hour session where all drivers were required to be present during their slotted time, which meant most drivers flew out the night before. After the change to a 60-minute session for only 6 drivers a little later in the day, you won't see some drivers fly in until Thursday morning now. The 14 drivers who aren't chosen to take part of this must participate in team-organized media broadcast sessions slotted at times different to the presser so they aren't competing for airtime. This is all followed by fan engagement activities, and 6 more drivers must participate in those. These sessions are only 30 to 60 minutes each, so they don't take up much of their day. However, the team has its own marketing requirements from the driver, so today is the day for that as well, so it's mostly out of the way prior to hitting the track. Most drivers will take the time on Thursday to do a walk, run, or bike around the track, and the team's social media admin usually takes this as an opportunity to get easy content for their accounts. This track walk can provide some recon of the track prior to getting out there with the cars on Friday. Surprisingly, World Drivers' Championship winners Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen often opt to skip the track walk, but maybe that's why they're champions. They've already etched these tracks into their minds. And that brings us to Friday, where the Formula One cars are hitting the track for the first time. At this point, other cars may have already hit the track this race weekend. Time on the track is often shared with their feeder series, Formula 2 and 3, and sometimes there are other support races there, like last weekend at Suzuka where the Ferrari Challenge was being held, and later this season, I believe the Porsche Super Cup will share the track during the Grand Prix weekend in Imola. This always helps with track conditions as it lays down rubber for the F1 sessions, but as usual, that's a whole nother episode. On Fridays, 2 of the 3 practice sessions happen. Prior to the first practice session, though, all team principals must attend a meeting chaired by the race director. There are also a couple more mandatory media events, the first of which is a pit lane car display, where each team has to put out their cars on display for the media. During this hour, the teams may use one of the cars to perform pit stop practice. This practice is vital, as we've seen with Kick Sauber this season, as well as Ferrari in past seasons. My heart hurts whenever I think of those times of shitty pit stops and even shittier strategies. During the pre-race car display, 3 teams are chosen to have a senior technical representative showcase the updates they've made to the car's aerodynamic and bodywork components to the media. Outside of the pit lane, 10 drivers are chosen for another half hour of fan engagement, after which they are free to finally start getting ready for the first practice session. Each practice session is 1 hour in length, with the exception of weekends in which they have been given new tire compounds to evaluate. In this case, the third practice session is extended to 90 minutes. Drivers must participate in at least one practice session in order to take part in the race. And as usual, in an attempt to keep these episodes bite-sized as promised, I plan to dedicate a separate episode to practice sessions because they're so important. The data they get from these sessions is crucial for race day. After FP1, there's a short break before the second practice session. Up to 6 teams will be chosen to send a team rep for more media events. The media delegate can choose between the team principal, team CEO, technical director, and one other senior team rep. Of the team principals who are not part of this activity, 3 will be chosen to participate in other fan engagement sessions. All Also during this break, there's a second meeting chaired by the race director, and at this time, all drivers are in attendance with their team principals. This break is a minimum 2 hours, maximum 3 hours, from the time the first practice session ends to the start of the second. Within the hour following the second session, the drivers are required to dedicate at least 5 more minutes to the media. That brings us to the following day, the day before the big race. On Saturday, the third and final practice session is held, and similar to the day before, there's a 2 to 3 hour break before the next session begins, which will be the qualifying session. During this break, the 10 drivers who weren't involved in the activities prior to FP1 on Friday must participate in 30 minutes of fan engagement during this time. The qualifying session, aka qualifiers, qualies, quali day, will determine the grid position for race day, i.e. the order in which the drivers will line up for the start of the race. Again, full episode to come on this, but basically the session is split up into 3 qualifiers, in which the bottom 5 do not move on to the next qualifier. The 5 drivers not making it past Q1 must head to the media pen for interviews, then the same with the 5 who are knocked out after Q2. At the end of the third and final qualifying session, the remaining drivers head to their interviews in the media pen, with the exception of the top 3 who will participate in a post-quali press conference. And then that brings us to Sunday, the day we have all been anticipating, race day. Should the race director feel that another meeting is needed with the team principals and drivers, this will happen 3 hours prior to the race start. This can happen when there are unforeseen incidents, usually track issues, and those are often due to inclement weather. Pre-race fan engagement starts 2 hours and 10 minutes before the start of the formation lap and is scheduled as a 30-minute session. This includes a driver's parade that does a lap around the track, where the drivers are usually chauffeured in fancy convertibles while sitting on the tops of their seats so fans at each grandstand can see them. Sometimes in team pairs, and other times each driver rides separately in a 2-seater. Sometimes they opt to take the drivers out for a lap by putting them all together on a big truck trailer. This is my favorite because I love seeing who the drivers tend to gravitate towards, who looks at ease, who looks like they'd much rather be talking to their engineer last minute before the race. I just like to people watch in general, so this is even more entertaining to me given that I'm so fascinated by these 20 athletes. With the increased popularity of Formula One in North America, thanks to the Netflix series Drive to Survive, we've seen the more outgoing American take on race intros. They introduce the drivers one by one, and it's a lavish affair. Celebrities, cheerleaders, lots of things you'd find at your typical American sports event. This is a huge point of contention with both drivers and fans, as it's atypical from the races in the past. Lewis Hamilton is one who seems to have embraced these changes, having always been a fan of American culture, while others, including Max Verstappen, have been more vocal about wanting to just race. I sit somewhere in between. As a fan who has yet to attend a race, I think I'd want the most bang for my buck, and these intros mean more events for me to watch while I'm visiting the track. However, the Las Vegas intros had me cringing. It felt over the top with the Super Bowl style concerts, the WWE style driver intros, the Hunger Games style team intros. It might get better once the drivers accept it for what it is, but until then, I'll probably continue to feel their awkwardness secondhand. The other thing is that these intros sometimes happen moments before the national anthem. With the anthem being slotted at 14 minutes before the formation lap, it's cutting it pretty close to the race when the drivers are trying to get in the proper mindset. Because after that anthem is sung, they head to their respective garages and get ready to finally race. You can check out episode 4, where I go into detail about the 60 minutes before the formation lap begins, right up until the lights go out. And then they race, but they aren't quite done with their media duties just yet. Each team must have a senior rep ready for an interview during the race, as well as afterwards, and all drivers have to do a post-race interview. Those retiring from the race early have to head to the media pen right after, and those that finish the race will all head there afterwards as well, with the exception of the top 3 drivers. They head to the cool down room to socialize amongst themselves before they head to the podium, where they'll bask in the glory of their wins and perform the iconic champagne celebration. The podium celebration wasn't always mandatory. This change happened after the 1977 Japanese Grand Prix, where the podium lacked the presence of the first and second place winners. First place, James Hunt, left to catch a flight, and Carlos Reutemann, who placed second, considered it to be in bad taste to celebrate after his teammate Gilles Villeneuve had been involved in a tragic accident during that race that took the lives of a marshal and photographer. And following the podium, the media delegate usually has a post-race press conference organized for the top 3 drivers before they're finally done with their duties for the race weekend. And there you have it, folks, the race weekend schedule. As mentioned earlier, you can tune into episode 13 later this week, where I'll review the schedule for sprint race weekends, just in time for our first sprint race at our next locale, Shanghai, China. Thank you again for tuning in. Take care. And as the checkered flag waves for this episode, we thank you for tuning in. Whether you're listening from the grandstands or your living room couch, we appreciate you spending your valuable time with us. Tune in next time for more fun. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss out. Catch you at the next pit stop.